He's very concerned about cheating on her, and that's a big red flag if you're like, I just don't want to cheat on you. It's like, well, then don't. I don't know what to say. Like, what? Why do you keep on bringing it up, dude? That's a little bit concerning, man. That's my whole thing. Like, Clady's actually a
Clady.
That should be their celebrity name if they make it.
Sounds like an STI. Clady. Wow.
Welcome to the Rom-Com Rewind Podcast.
Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Devin.
And like you, I love rewatching movies over and over again.
You're here, you're talking to us, you made it. You love romantic comedies or love romance reality TV, maybe. We do as well.
So this is a show where we rewatch rom-coms, break them down a bit for you, maybe take a peek behind the curtain, dig beneath the surface, and decide, does it still hold up?
This week, we don't have a romantic comedy. We have
Love is Blind
Season 6.
Season 6 recap.
That's right. Because we did a Season 5 after chatting a little bit with you about, you know, what else outside of romantic comedies you would like to hear.
Yes.
And, you know, reality TV did come up a bit. Specifically, you know, stuff that pertains to love and romance and comedy. And that is what Love is Blind has.
Yeah, and a few of you have reached out since the start of this newest season, Season 6, Love is Blind, to see if we're going to be doing an episode on it. And here we are.
Here we are. Love is Blind Season 6. If you're unfamiliar, you're just learning about this for the first time, the premise of this show, it's on Netflix, by the way, Love is Blind is that they go to a specific city or a state. This season they happen to be in North Carolina, and they get a group of men and a group of women. They separate them. The guys and the girls never actually see each other, but they go into these, like, pods, and they have a conversation through
a wall.
Through a wall, basically. There is glass, but you can't see through the glass. I gather you can kind of see, like, the shadow of a person, but you can't really, like, you have no idea who's on the other side. And the premise of the show is, like, can you fall in love with somebody without ever seeing them? Is love truly blind?
You sound like Vanessa and Nick Lachey.
They are the hosts of our show. I'm making a strong case that maybe I should be the host of the show. No.
Obviously, should we? Oh my gosh.
Nick Lachey. It's funny. I was actually listening to some 98 Degrees the other day, or better yet, the music videos for 98 Degrees, which was Nick Lachey's boy band.
Yes.
What a trip. Sarah, they are like...
I think I had their CD.
I think we all did, didn't
yeah.
we?
Yeah.
It's a trip down memory lane watching those music videos now. You watch it and you're like, this is
They were
absurd.
All the same. And for some reason, the color metallic comes to mind. They went through like a metallic phase during like the 2000s.
What was that?
Like the year 2000?
If you get down on me, I'll get down on you.
Isn't that B4-4?
It's probably B4-4. If you gave me a B4-4 song and a 98 Degrees song and music video, the only way I could tell the difference is that Nick Lachey is in one and not the other.
It's true, because they all had frosted tips and you never know who is who.
Totally.
Although I loved Brian from Backstreet Boys.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. We're skipping boy bands.
I had to keep track there.
Best boy band of all time, hit me.
Oh, God. Backstreet Boys.
Okay, Backstreet Boys. I've also been listening to a lot of All for One randomly for no reason. They got some bangers, guys. I mean, obviously more on, like, the mopey end of the boy band spectrum. Yeah. But really great stuff. Anyway, back to the premise. We try to find out if love is blind. And kind of the guys are in their own area. They're chatting with each other, but then they individually go and talk to each of the women, and the women are doing the same thing.
They have dates.
So there is some drama, I guess, in each of the sides, where some of the guys realizing that they're maybe dating the same girls, and some of the girls realizing that they might be dating some of the same guys.
Which always makes me laugh, because they're literally all dating the same people. Like, everybody is dating.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's when it starts to dwindle down that we start to get the drama.
Yes, then we start to get the drama. And I feel like this year, more than other years, people were aware that they were dating the same people, which created a little bit of extra drama this year. But to finish off the premise of Love is Blind, basically at the end of the pod phase, I guess, hopefully people are proposing to each other and then we get the reveal. Well, you propose to this person, you're engaged to be married. Here's what they look like.
And you have 4 weeks of engagement.
Yeah, you go off somewhere to a vacation destination, you relax a little bit, you vacation together, and then you go back to your normal lives, knowing that you're going to be married at the end of the month kind of thing.
Yeah, they have to move in together. They like set up, the whole show sets up like little apartments for them. They have to live together for the, I guess, 3.5 weeks leading up to their wedding, and they get to the altar and they have to decide ultimately if they will say yes.
And like an overarching thought I have about this season of Love is Blind is that, like, I think back to the first couple seasons of the show, mm-hmm. and it felt really pure. It was very like, this is an experiment. It's a social experiment to find out, can you fall in love with them, yeah. with somebody without seeing them? And I feel like somewhere we lost the way and we're just here for the drama now.
It's like what happened to Survivor, to aspects of Survivor.
Okay. Where people figure out the game a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, like Survivor at the very beginning was like a good mix of like strategic play and idol play and physical like strength. The last, you know, let's say, I don't know, we're on season like 40 something. The last, let's say like, I don't know, 10 seasons. And I haven't really been keeping up, so I could be wrong. But the last few seasons that I have watched feel like they're more like psychological warfare. Like, it is so much more of a strategically played game than more like than it was strength. Like, it's no longer like you have to be the strongest. You have a target on your back, essentially, if you are the strongest. You have to strategically survive, and you have to be like able to, like, you know, whereas like it's morphed over the, I don't know, 40 some seasons that they've had. Whereas I think Love is Blind is similar to that.
This is such a you listening.
Except you didn't need the physical aspect.
You listening might be able to key in on this if you've listened to a lot of our pods. That was Judge Sarah right there. Sarah is all about fairness and like, if you're the better athlete, you should win Survivor.
No, not at all. It's a mix of like everything, right? Like uh-huh. that's the ultimate Survivor. But I think now it's just very, it's a strategic game that you live in Fiji with no rice.
Survivor, Fiji, no rice, season 48. Join us on CBS or whoever
yeah, cares. Yeah, and like they also don't like venture out to like the places. Like I remember when they did the Outback. Anyway, okay, I digress because wow, I could talk really, about like Survivor.
Do we need to make a Survivor podcast with you right now? I didn't even know you still watch that show.
It's still recording.
Oh my God. Are we still recording
we are.
Seasons of, oh
we
God.
Are.
If okay. you were wondering who's still watching Survivor, it's Sarah. We digress back to
we
Love
do.
Is Blind.
My goodness.
So why don't we, like, I've got a few things overarching that I want to talk about still, but why don't we just hit couple by couple.
I love it.
Kind of go through the experience, and then maybe at the end we can make some predictions about where we think they're going to land.
Absolutely.
So this one's kind of funky because as of the release of this episode, the final episode of Love is Blind is dropping today. We're recording this ahead of time, but our episode's coming out on Wednesday, March 6th. And Netflix literally just is posting that day the final episode, which is the altar stuff.
Yes, before the reunion. Yeah.
People going down the altar. So
down the aisle.
People
to
going
the
down the aisle yeah. to the altar. You know what I mean. So yeah, we're going to do predictions of what we think's going to happen there. So it's fun. You can listen to the podcast episode, and then you can literally go straight to the final episode of Netflix and find out if we were right or wrong. Let's start with AD and Clay. How about those two?
Okay, so AD and Clay, I think in the pods, in the first four or five episodes that we get from Netflix, which, by the way, was one of the biggest releases of the first few episodes that they've ever done for Love is Blind.
Really?
They were all in the pods, which was also really surprising because last season they did mostly out of the pods. I felt like we didn't get enough pods. This season, I felt like we got too much pod. We got a lot of pod.
Yeah.
AD connected with this guy named Matthew first. He really didn't connect with anybody else except for AD and this other girl named Amber. And we thought like AD was endgame for Matthew. And then we find out about this other girl, Amber, and that he was saying the exact same thing to her. And then all of a sudden, AD also has this connection with Clay, and she then guns for Clay, wants to be with him and whatever. So I was very skeptical at the very beginning. I was like, oh my gosh, are they going to last? They seem like a good couple. They seem like they're on par entrepreneurial-wise, like career-wise, but I swear he's going to cheat.
Okay.
Like, he's setting it up so that if he does, she knows about it.
Like, I was really worried that you were going to be like, I love them so much because I don't love them so much. I love AD.
I love AD.
A lot. But you're right. Clay has a lot of red flags. I feel like this man is building a house out of red flags, actually. And what's the first part of a house, Sarah? It's
a foundation.
Yes. The foundation of everything he talks about, all the, anytime they have a deep conversation, it's always like, oh, my dad cheated a lot on my mom.
But it's like
okay. And she's like, all right. And he's like, well, I just don't want to let you down. And she's like, what do you mean? And he's like, I don't want the same thing for us. It's
he
like,
needs to
well,
go
then
to
don't
therapy.
Cheat on me.
Yeah. He needs to go to therapy. He needs therapy to talk about this because it is like a very well-rooted issue that he has.
Yes, he's very concerned about cheating on her, and that's a big red flag if you're like, I just don't want to cheat on you. It's like, well, then don't. I don't know what to say. Like, what? Why do you keep on bringing it up, dude? That's a little bit concerning, man. That's my whole thing. Like, Clady's actually a
Clady.
That should be their celebrity name if they
it
make
sounds
it.
Sounds like an STI. Clady.
Wow. You got chlamydia, man? Like, no, I got that new stuff. It's Clay D. Like, whoa, what's that? It's a little bit of a combination of a few, actually.
You start seeing the signs all around universities. Clay, do you have Clay D?
Get tested for Clay D today. Clay is actually a fairly likable guy, but yeah, every deep conversation they have is kind of like, I don't want to cheat on you. AD is amazing. I love AD.
She does have a little bit of an issue with him like working, but I think that's just something that they have to, they're both in jobs where they're like, they have to put in the time and effort to get the money and reward back. So
Clay is in sales and he also runs some Airbnb rentals. AD is a real estate agent
and
a nightclub
promoter. Manager.
Yeah, she manages like the VIP section of a nightclub. So very weird hours, but I think AD's issue is that sometimes Clay, like he'll get like an Airbnb set up a few hours away and he'll just sleep the night there.
Right.
Instead of coming home. Mm-hmm. Which like, you know, when you're two single people, it doesn't matter. When you're first starting a relationship, maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe when you have kids down the line, that's going to be a big problem. You know, dad's just going, I don't need to come home tonight. Like, no, you got to come home, bro. We got to do bedtime with the kids.
So
I get how that can be a red flag. I do want to bring up something that I find very fascinating.
Okay.
About Matthew.
Oh, yes.
So like you teed up, Matthew was a love interest for AD in the pods. Yeah. And he... This is why I mentioned this off the top with Love is Blind, how I think it's changed a little bit, because Matthew was an interesting guy. He was definitely a little bit zany and a little bit weird, and it turns out part of that is because he doesn't drink.
Correct. He is sober.
And a lot of contestants in the past on Love is Blind have called out the show for providing them maybe too much of that beverage.
Yeah, with no food.
With no food. They always have gold...
goblets?
Chalices, yeah, goblets.
I'd like to say,
so you never know how much they have been consuming, which I think is part of the design of the show. Like, ooh, you don't know. They're totally normal. Like, no. They've been drinking. But Matthew had a big issue with this show being a big deal. Like, when him and AD were coming into... we're having some trouble in the relationship, mostly because Matthew was saying the same things to AD as another girl.
Yeah.
And when AD called him out, he started saying like, you know, like the world's going to see this one day. And like the nation's
watching.
This is national TV. And it's like, this guy is very fixated on the fact that like, he's going to be on a streaming service in a few months.
Yeah.
And I do find that Love is Blind is now at that point where like, a number of the people who have been past contestants on the show are now influencers.
Yes.
Their job is now like they've created enough clout from being on the show that like they just have podcasts or they just have Instagram accounts.
They've quit their really good jobs to do like podcasting and influencing and they make a lot of money from it.
They make money, baby.
Yeah. I have a question for you though. Or were you done with the whole Matthew thing?
I was going to go into reality TV stars.
Before you do that, my question for you is, did Matthew ever go and find Amber? Did he find Amber?
Oh, yeah. So that was the other girl. It was AD and Amber. And we learned that he was saying, like, I would just run away with you today to AD. And then he would say literally word for word, bang on the same things to Amber.
So after AD and him broke up, he said, well, I'm leaving. I'm going to go find Amber. And so the big question is, did he ever find Amber? I watched a TikTok.
Oh, tell us.
Where Amber, people think Amber was a plant.
Really?
Because... she was also another one that had a significant other going into the show.
No way.
Yes, there's a picture of them. on this TikTok video that I found, and talked about how she was in a relationship going into it, deleted all of the stuff off of her social media so that it didn't look like she was in a relationship, but she still is in fact in a relationship with this person after leaving the show. And that's why she left the show. Like, this is what this person's saying, that she left the show because her and her significant other had made the deal that she would go on, go so far into the show, and then leave when it got too, like, too close to an actual engagement.
Okay. You know what? I also heard a story. Let's take some shots at the production company here, because there's some sketchiness with this season of Love is Blind. I saw a TikTok from a guy saying, like, hey, a casting director reached out to them and said, like, hey, we're doing Love is Blind in your area. He lived in, like, a city nearby. Like, he wasn't right where they were filming. But they're like, hey, like, we'd love you to come on the show. They clearly just looked at his Instagram account and were like, objectively, fairly good-looking guy. And he was like, yeah, you know, love is blind, but, like, I'm not looking for marriage right now.
Right.
And they're like, you know what? People want to see different stories on screen. So if you're not down for marriage, that's totally cool. And it's like, that's literally
that's the show.
Not the premise. The premise of the show is you get married. So literally he talked about, they're like, they just wanted me to come in and be a villain. They wanted me to come in and not commit to whoever was attracted to me. And I would probably end up being an issue because I didn't want to go through with it.
Yeah.
And that would make for great television TV for them. But, like, I end up being the asshole, and I'm telling them up front, like, I don't want to be married at the end of this.
Yeah.
And they were totally down for him to be on the show.
They need therapists on site for Love is Blind.
Well, they need to just take people who want to fall in love.
Yes, and that's, I think, the difference you see from the beginning of the first few seasons into what it is now is very different. And it's, they're building on this big audience that they have, and they just, people love the tea. People love the drama. Let's just keep feeding them, right?
Okay, am I an old man? I want to see the love. I want to see the love story. Who was season one? Cameron and...
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my gosh. It's because you asked me. Barnett and...
Well, Barnett and Amber worked
Amber.
Out.
Barnett and Amber. And
but
then
the real
Cameron
story
and
in
Lauren.
Season one was Lauren and Cameron.
Yes.
They were like the
phenomenal.
Purest love story
and guess what?
Of all time.
They do influencing work.
Do
now.
They actually?
Yes. Well, she was an influencer, right? Like,
oh, she was
social
an
media
influencer.
Marketing, okay. Like an influencer at the time. But I mean, obviously she's blown up since.
They are still together, by the way. Cameron and Lauren. But because of Matt's reaction to AD and the whole, like, oh, the world is watching me. And I actually was reading a thing about how some people think AD is only in this to gain some clout.
Really?
Kind of thing. Yeah, I know. I don't totally love that. But here's what I have for you. I have for you, who are the biggest reality TV stars of all time? Like, I truly think people are now going on Love is Blind for the fact that they can become stars after the show's over.
Or at least they'll become a meme. Shane. I just think of Shane, right?
Oh, man. Poor Shane from season, I want to say, four,
I think.
Maybe?
Yeah.
Okay, first, let's just get them off the board. The Kardashians.
Right.
Clearly reality stars. Do you watch Vanderpump Rules?
No, but I have one of my best friends obsessed with it. Kay. And, like, loves it. Just, like, devours it. And, like, multiple people love it.
So we've got Lisa Vanderpump as number two on this list. Some interesting names, though. Like Lauren Conrad. Do you remember her? Laguna
yes,
Beach?
The Hills.
And The Hills. Yes,
LC.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, I watched The Hills. I was an avid Hill watcher with Whitney and, we got Spidey, like Spencer and Heidi.
Oh, my God, really?
And then
those are the names?
Yeah, and then Spencer was, like, the villain, like, the mega villain. And Lauren and Heidi used to be best friends, like, besties. And then she started dating Spencer and then got, like, H-size boobs and then, like, left the show. Maybe.
That all sounds made up. That's
no,
even when you said, like,
no.
Oh, like, LC, I thought we were talking about a different show. That's Lauren
Conrad.
No,
Lauren Conrad.
Yeah, yeah. Got it.
Yeah.
This
that's
list
like, that's very Cole's notes. Like, like,
you know nothing
level.
About Laguna Beach. Hey, there's a Spidey. Somebody got H-size boobs. Oh, Lauren Conrad.
Well, for
LC.
Heidi, right?
Right, sure. Yeah, yeah. Oh, Heidi. Yes, I do know Heidi, actually. Now that I think of
Heidi
it.
Heidi Montag.
Everybody knows Heidi.
Yeah, yeah.
She probably goes on this list. Yeah, yeah. She's a big deal.
Yeah.
This list also has Jennifer Hudson from American Idol. I disagree. I think Kelly Clarkson's the biggest reality star from American
I would agree.
Idol.
You know what? Jennifer has, it's, I think it's because she's dabbled in, like, obviously singing. That's not a dabble, but dabbled in acting.
Yes.
Right.
Whereas and, Kelly Clarkson's like, I'm going to have a daytime TV show instead. You
yeah.
know?
Which
like,
I mean, I think is coming off of Ellen DeGeneres. She has made it at in the perfect time, right?
Totally. Totally. Paris Hilton. Remember The Simple
oh, yeah.
Life?
Do I remember The Simple
Life? Do we remember The Simple Life? Come on.
I watched that train wreck.
And a train wreck it was.
It was absurd. And like, I left dumber every episode.
Oh, yeah. You lost a couple brain cells, really. And the thing is, like,
but I kept watching.
The Paris and Nicole Richie, they're rich enough that they could yeah. lose a few brain cells. We normal people, like, I need to keep mine. I don't have enough money to get by on just
we
money.
Can't buy brain cells.
Yeah, no, yeah, yeah. this list also has Bethany Frankel, Real Housewives.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I never watched any of those.
See, here's the thing. I don't know how many of these shows you've watched. Christian Siriano, Project Runway.
Oh, I did watch Project Runway, but I don't remember.
Elizabeth Hasselbeck?
Nope.
From, wow.
From where?
Survivor, Sarah.
Oh, was she the one of the OG winners?
Yeah, she yes. was season two, I think.
Yes.
The Australian Outback.
Yeah, which like they don't go to the Australian Outback. They've done Fiji like 8 times now, you know?
Listen, Survivor, if you want to figure your stuff out, Sarah has notes. Sarah knows what you need
What's
to do.
What's the guy's name?
who? I have no idea who you're about to say right
the,
now.
The host.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah, I have no idea
like
his
Josh
name.
It's like Josh or Todd or Tom
it's
or
like
something like that, and I don't know why. I can't remember it.
Easy name. It's like Jeff. Wait, Jeff Prost.
It's Prost. Jeff Prost.
Prost. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. See, I knew it was like a four-letter word.
Move out of the way, Jeff. Sarah's got this.
No,
she
I
knows
don't.
What you
I do not
to
want
doing.
To be the host.
You just
Jeff
have ideas?
Jeff can continue, dude. He is like on track to be like the host of Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, do you think?
Yeah, he's been doing it for how many seasons, Devin? Like
oh,
40
oh, you
billion.
Mean that, like that kind of longevity, you
yes,
mean?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I
he's not
that.
Old.
Yeah, yeah. I thought you're like, he's going to host Wheel of Fortune. I'm like, no, I don't think he's, no. I think he'd get bored. No. Like, I used to have people hanging from their nutsacks on like a thing.
We're going
to
snuff the wheel.
Yeah.
No.
Exactly.
The fire has burned out for you.
He's like watching people drown every other day, and he's like, and now we just turn a wheel? Like,
yeah,
that's
he'd have
boring.
To say, the wheel no longer turns for you.
And the then wheel no longer
you have
turns
been dismissed.
For you. Goodbye. Anyway, oh, Jamie Chung from The Real World, San Diego, I've also got on
I
this
feel like
list.
There would be a few people. I'm surprised there's not more people from The Real World, because that was big.
That was a big mess, too, is the thing. Yeah, yeah. So that's more or less your Cole's Notes of Clay and AD. Any final thoughts before we move on?
No, I think I've covered what I wanted to speak about.
Why don't we do the wholesome couple next? Johnny and Amy.
The couple that I continuously forget that are there?
See, and Sarah, that's the problem. They are the most wholesome couple, and Netflix is like, I think people are just in it for the tea, and we're like, no. We want a couple that really believes in love, but now we're like, who are they again?
I never said I'm not in it for all the tea. Right? But like,
we need a good mix. We need somebody who's actually in it for the long run.
Yes. And I think they are a very good couple together. I think the education of birth control is further required. But I think it's a compromise between the two of them, right? Like, and I think that's their big conversation. That's their big tea.
Totally.
Is like that. And they're not. It's not a disagreement between the two of them. It's just more just like a learning on each side. But they have, you know, they yeah. have some things to figure out. And
they
I
have
think
some things to figure out.
And I think that's what their issue is.
They
like,
have
that's
constructive
it.
Conversations about it. It
they
is
do.
Funny. You're right. Because they talk about like, oh, like, you know, she like the health of a woman who goes on birth control, like that affects your body in a way. And she's like, what about vasectomies?
Yes.
And then the next episode, Johnny's like, I just researched vasectomies. I had no idea. It's like, dude's learning about vasectomies right now.
I thought like, it was a little, what did he say? I thought it was like a little ribbon tied
you
and you
tie it in
you
a bow.
Just tie it in a bow and you call it a day and then you can undo it whenever you want. And I'm just like, what?
And to be fair, they are reversible, but like he's learning things about things
yes.
that clearly he
yes.
did not know about previous. Yeah. which is, it's kind of funny, but at the same, like they're going to be fine. I
yes.
don't want to show
think,
my hand.
I think they will go.
Yes.
Because her biggest thing was her dad saying, yes to them getting married. Like,
yes.
Johnny asking her dad for his, like, her hand in marriage and him saying yes. And he did. So, like, I think they're golden. Like, I think they will get to the altar and say yes, yes, yes.
Sarah's already doing her predictions.
Yes, sorry.
We were going to leave that for the end of the episode, but...
I can wait and do it again.
We'll redo it at the end. Yeah, Laura and Jeremy. I mean, we don't need to make predictions of these two because they're split.
Oh, my God.
They're I'll put Sarah splits, Ann in there as well.
They're Splitsville. Little...
So the backstory here is that Jeremy was kind of into two girls in the pod, Laura, and then there was also Sarah Ann. And he chose Laura. And then when they got out of the pods, it seemed like Laura really felt like Jeremy was immature. And she, I mean, in my mind, she was a little bit mean to him at times. She hated his Hawaiian shirts.
They were very nitpicky at each other. And it seemed that Laura was a little bit more mean nitpicky to Jeremy. And Jeremy just kind of took it. But again, there was evidently a maturity level issue there
with Jeremy specifically.
Like, the evidence was clearly there.
And evidenced by the fact that the biggest drama so far this season is that Jeremy ended up, so Sarah Ann, outside of the pods, reached out to Jeremy just saying like, hey, if it doesn't work out, here's, I'm DMing you.
And that's like, I didn't make it out of the pods and I still want to stay relevant and I need, you know, some more followers. Let me just pretend to reach out, see what's up.
Question. So he didn't respond to that message, but he liked it.
Yeah, that's leaving the door open.
Okay.
Like, you liking a message and not saying, thanks, I'm good.
Okay.
Or not even acknowledging, like, I appreciate you reaching out, but I have moved on. Or, you know, really appreciate our time in the pods, but, like, I'm sorry. But he always left, he even left the door open a little bit in the pods. Like, I do agree with Sarah Ann on that. He really didn't have a reason why he was letting Sarah Ann go and going with Laura. Like, it was never really sold to anybody. And I think that was because he really wasn't 100% sure. And then, so he chose Laura. They get out of the pods. There's like bickering back and forth. He has an extremely clean apartment to the point where like people were like, it's staged. It's staged. It's staged. We then find out.
Yes. The year's the big one.
That he was engaged right before.
Oh, I was thinking you were going to go to the Sarah Ann thing. Yeah, apparently he was engaged right before going on the show.
Yeah, that's why he has gold cutlery.
Right.
Maybe he got it in the split. Like, who? What man has gold cutlery?
You're right. It is a little strange. The real thing with Jeremy is that there was a night where he was out at a prominent location in their area, like a club kind of thing.
It seems that some of the cast go out.
Yeah. Oh,
you know,
certainly.
In the 3 weeks.
Anyway, so apparently he was with Sarah Ann that night. And here's the real fun, like, Sherlock Holmes part of this season is that Laura let it on that she had no idea where she was. She's like, you were out until 5 a.m. Who were you with? And he's like, I was just in the back alley of Lost and Found, and I was chatting with Sarah Ann. He admitted that he was with Sarah Ann. And she's like, oh, really? Because why was your location for, like, Find My iPhone or whatever showed you in Southeast Side or wherever it was, and that's Sarah Ann's apartment. Like, she knew that he went there.
Yeah, because he gave her his drop location.
But here's the thing. From what I understand, he apparently left his phone in his car or left his phone somewhere, but then it was his Apple Watch was how she was tracking him.
What a loser.
What an idiot. Like, first of all, dude, come on. Test out your technology before you're going to really risk it all.
But I think before that night, like, he had given her location.
Yeah.
Like, privileges, right? Yeah,
but he thought, if I just ditch my iPhone, I'm good to go. It was the Apple Watch.
What a ding-dong.
Anyway, so more or less, we can concede that he probably cheated on Laura with Sarah Ann.
Yeah.
She split with him. And then we had this really wild, like, reunion
barbecue.
Episode.
It was a barbecue.
Yeah, it was like a backyard barbecue thing where, like, Sarah Ann shows up, Laura's there, Jeremy's there, and Laura, like, once again is like, this is over. He's just an immature piece of bleep. And Jeremy and Sarah Ann have a moment and they're like, let's go off and go, like, see
jet skiing.
Yeah. And, like, while it's so funny, like, the camera's on Laura and she's, like, crying, being like, I just, like, he broke my heart, blah, blah, blah. And in the background, they're just zipping up and down the lake.
And you have Jeremy laughing.
Like, just having the time of his life. So, toxic relationship all around
totally,
for them.
Yes.
They're split, so there's no
they
reason
are
to
split.
Continue
And can
on,
we talk about the other one that split very early on, who came home from Dominican, right? right.
That was after. The next one on my list, Brittany and Kenneth, who I thought they were the Johnny and Amy. I thought they were
They were the Lauren and Cameron of this season.
They were so mature. They had really important conversations. They seemed both very level-headed, and they both seemed really committed to love and marriage and all of that in the pods.
Yeah.
And then outside of the pods, we got an entirely different Kenneth.
Yes.
This guy was constantly on his phone. It's a big thing in the pods and on the vacation. They take away your devices. Yeah. He gets back to the real world, and he is just locked in on his phone.
Yeah, he is dating his phone, not Brittany.
He's dating his phone, not Brittany, man. And like Brittany, there's a few conversations we see, and I gather there are a lot of arguments that they might have had
right.
that weren't shown. But basically, she's like, you know, I'm not feeling the affection from you. I'm not feeling the love, the intimacy, yada, yada, yada. And he's kind of on his phone just like, yeah, you know, that's probably on you if you're not feeling the intimacy in this relationship.
Like, the gaslighting in this conversation was probably like he tried to play it off that because he didn't want to be the villain. Like that's, I think, what he set out to do in this conversation with Brittany. He gaslighted the shit out of her.
He did.
And she's there crying, and he basically says, like, so we're done? Like, we're good?
So this is over?
And she's like,
or
what? She's like, I mean, I guess so. Like, what? And she's crying. He says, okay, cool. Well, like, I'm always going to be there to support you. Gives her a hug and then walks upstairs with his phone while he's looking at his phone.
And doesn't she's even crying. Look. Yeah. She's sitting there crying.
Leaves her in the kitchen to just continue to cry by herself.
Horrible.
And then you can hear him that he's on the phone. And he's like, yeah, man, I'm coming over. I'm bringing my stuff. We're done. Like, it's just like, what? So, I mean, I think it's clear to say, like you mentioned, Evan, there's a lot that we didn't see leading up to that point. But it definitely was a big change from outside the pods.
And, you know, while we're talking about villains, can we talk about reality TV, like all-time villains?
Oh,
Kenneth's
gosh.
Not going to be on the all-time villain list.
He's just an all-time gaslighter.
Yeah, all-time gaslighter. Yeah. There is somebody who I want to talk about in a sec who might end up in the all-time villain list, but I have for you a list of the all-time most iconic reality TV show villains.
I can't wait.
Starting with, I mean, do we go right to Spencer Pratt? Because I know you know who he is.
He is a big time villain.
Because I didn't watch The Hills. Why was he a villain? Like, what was so bad about him?
Because, like, he was very toxic, extremely toxic, and basically, like, made Heidi into. And you know what? Who knows? Like, again, this is all on TV, and production does a lot of things, and you don't actually know these people. But from what you saw on The Hills, you know, Heidi and Lauren were best friends. They lived together. And then slowly, Spencer kind of made his way into Heidi's life and changed her completely. She moved out of the apartment with Lauren, you know, started missing things, events that Lauren, you know, her birthday or things like that. And then, like, just slowly he kind of crept in and just took over her life. And they were, like, very dependent on each other. And they just, like, were Spidey. That's why, like, literally Spidey. Like, they were one.
Where does Kristen Cavallari fall into this?
Oh,
because she's
was
also on
so
the
she
list.
Was on Laguna Beach.
Yes, but also I thought The Hills, but I'm probably
she was,
mistaken
She was
there.
In and out of The Hills. Okay. Like, she was in and out of The Hills. Like, it was mostly, yeah, like, but I think she was Laguna Beach a lot of it. Which she, yes, she was a villain. I only watched a little bit of Laguna Beach. I was definitely a Hills fan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because apparently there's a thing with her and Lauren Conrad, how they're still to this day feuding over a show that was like, how long ago? 10 years ago?
15 years ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Vanderpump Rules, we don't watch it, but we know Jax Taylor and also James Kennedy both made it onto this list. Apparently unsavory
toxic.
Individuals. Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Toxic, yeah.
How about Mike the Situation from from Jersey Shore?
Like, I don't know if necessarily like the villain, but like toxic masculinity.
Yes. Toxic misogyny maybe yeah, is like, him. Yeah, sure.
Like just a toxic human that created literal situations just to watch drama unfold, I feel.
One of my favorite, did you watch Jersey Shore?
I did.
One of my favorite all-time reality TV show moments is the letter that they give to
Sammy
Sweetheart. About Ronnie, how he's Ronnie. Yeah. Dear Sammy, like Ronnie's dear been Sammy. Cheating. On, he kissed a girl Tuesday night and he kissed a girl again on Wednesday. And it's just so like
production written.
Yeah. Like you can look at that and be like, this was 80% oh, Snooki. Like,
yeah. Oh my God. That show was just something else.
What a hot mess that show was.
It really was.
Okay. And like a name that I know so well, I feel like he's gotten, yeah, Johnny has accumulated nearly $1.2 million in winnings since 2008. Do you know Johnny Bananas?
No.
He's apparently like TV's greatest villain is how they call him. He's won seven different challenge. He's won the challenge seven different times.
Is this for what show?
The Challenge. Oh. He was also on The Real World, but yeah, the show The Challenge.
No, I've never seen it.
Apparently a classic villain.
I must have missed that Real World season.
Omarosa from The Apprentice is also, I mean.
Oh God, remember that show?
Remember The Apprentice? What a wild time that was. There are also like a lot of Real Housewives, which like, you know, it's kind of like a different category, if that makes sense.
It is. It is definitely a different category, like the Vanderpump Rules and that category. And then I think you touch on it in a few of your villains, you know, Jersey Shore and Laguna Beach and The Hills. Like that was like MTV,
yes.
You know, 2000s teen drama.
Totally. Totally. It's, yeah. It's kind of tough because like there are some shows like Survivor or like Big Brother or The Challenge, like they're doing a thing and you end up competing and becoming a villain, where there are some shows where it's just like, let's just get some crazy people together in a room
and see what happens
And that's how I feel about some of those shows. Oh yeah, Hottie Montag, by the way, is on this list.
I believe it. I did not like her by the end of it. I think Survivor is a big one. I think, you know, you can literally search top 10 villains in Survivor, one, because there's so many seasons, and two, because there were some true villains that they brought back into different seasons to be the villain. Like, that's how good they were at being bad.
But I feel like with Survivor, it's not justified, but it is a little bit, because it's like, this is a competition. You need to beat other people. It's strategic. You win a shit ton of money at the end of this. Real Housewives, it's like, y'all are pretty messy. Let's just slap y'all together and see
you
what happens.
You're already all rich. Yeah, so.
You're already rich. You're a little bit mean to people. Let's just put a lot of mean people together in a room and see what happens.
Yeah.
The last person on this list, I didn't even think about, but it's totally... Simon Cowell is a villain. Or at least at the beginning of American Idol, he was mean.
Yes. I think he's kind of changed a little bit. He's a little bit softer now, but I haven't watched any of those singing shows in a very long time.
He is softer. I think he has to be, because I recently rewatched like a few like clips from like the first couple seasons of American Idol. I don't think you can get away with being that mean to people anymore. Like, I don't think you can actually be as rude as he was.
Production
on
had to
TV.
Sit him down. Okay, now we like you, but we don't like what you say.
Kind of like Gordon Ramsay. We were watching a show the other night.
Yeah,
and
Next
we
Level
about,
Chef.
Yeah.
Love it.
He is slightly softer, and I feel like maybe that comes with age, but I think it also comes with just like times are changing. You can't be like
verbally abusive.
Yes, you can't be verbally abusive.
Yeah, you can't be verbally abusive to people you don't know.
Totally.
Actually, totally. To people regardless of whether you know them or not. That's why I should clarify that. You can't be verbally abusive to people.
Totally. So, I mean, those are our all-time villains. I want to throw another potential almost all-time villain.
Okay.
Our next couple, Jimmy and Chelsea.
Oh my God.
Either of them could end up being an all-time villain.
No, I don't think I... Ah, oh, man.
The backstory here is we have this guy named Jimmy, and two girls were interested in him. There was a girl named Jessica who, a little, I guess, point of note there is that she does have a child. I believe 10 years old is her child.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, that's just, hey, by the way, you know, a couple dates in, I've got a child.
Yeah.
Chelsea has been married in the past.
Right.
And Jimmy was kind of stuck between these two girls who he was vibing with, both of them. They both have, you know, just a little bit of a backstory there. One thing that I think is important to note is that...
She does not look like Megan Fox. Just kidding.
The show is Love is Blind.
Yeah.
And Chelsea asked the question, like, who's your celebrity doppelganger?
Oh, my God.
And Jimmy's like, I don't know. Who's yours? And she's like, people tell me I look like... Machine Gun Kelly's wife. He's like, you look like Megan Fox.
Sold. That right there sold him on her.
Absolutely.
Anybody who said, like, I beg to differ anybody who says that's not true.
Totally.
Because I think that made his decision as soon as I came out of her mouth.
You saw his eyes light up. And then lo and behold, ladies and gentlemen, he chooses Chelsea over Jessica. And I don't want to be an a-hole, but objectively speaking, Jessica is gorgeous.
Yes. I mean, Chelsea is very beautiful as well. Yes.
But like, you're comparing yourself to Machine Gun Kelly, to Megan Fox. Excuse me.
Yes.
Listen, they get engaged, they meet, and Jimmy does say, like, to a camera off the scene, like, well, you know, she might have fibbed a little bit.
She lied about a few things.
Doesn't exactly look like Megan Fox, is how he said. And then, of course, that became the meme of the season.
Yes.
Like, does Chelsea look like Megan Fox? Because some people do say, like, facial structure, maybe a little bit. But
I think she looks like Adele.
I think she absolutely looks like Adele.
I think she looks like what Adele, like, if you put them side by side right now, I think they would look alike.
Totally.
Like, completely.
The other thing here is that Chelsea very quickly, as soon as they got out of the pods, exhibited a lot of what I would say is deep insecurities.
Yes.
She's very concerned about cheating. She's very concerned about who's he talking to. Is he spending enough time with me? Is he intimate enough with me? Is he emotional enough? It's like,
does he love me?
It's like every time we get Chelsea and Jimmy on screen, it's her being upset with it. Like, you didn't kiss me today. Okay, well, I kissed you this morning. Well, okay, you only kissed me once today. And it's like, oh, God. Like, poor Jimmy. Like, you went out last night. Yeah, I went out for an hour. I had a drink with some friends. Like, an hour feels too long. Like, where were you?
I thought you said you didn't like going out. And he's like, well.
And he's like, I was out for an hour.
I'm out for an hour and a half. I had two beer.
It was a friend's birthday.
And then she just spirals into something completely different. And I think, like, it's funny because there's been... I have to say, people are very much so ragging on her for saying that she looked like Megan Fox. And I think she's handled it in a very professional way because that's really hard to, like, I'm sure she didn't realize that by saying that was going to be that big of a deal.
Totally.
Who knows if production would have even cut that out? Like, she didn't know how it was going to play out. She wanted to end up with somebody, right? Like, that was her ultimate goal.
Come on saying now. You said it, though.
No,
you
I know.
Said what you
I know.
Said. It's a show about Love is Blind, and you're telling people you look like Megan Fox?
I know.
Come on
I know.
Now.
You got to reap what you sow. However, I will say, I think Jessica's speech to Jimmy in the pods goes down in history as best pod speech, but also might be like best like breakup speech. You're going to need your EpiPen because you're going to choke when you see me. That is,
which nobody even knew you had allergies.
Unreal. Unreal. But I was reading an article today that said that Jimmy kind of said, you know, a lot of what was not shown, like, so dates between Jimmy and Jess were not shown. And I guess leading up to their last date, this is what Jimmy says. Jess was being really mean. And he's like, I would never go for the mean girl. And I'm just like, I don't know if you're just trying to save face now because you went with Chelsea and not Jess. And
when they saw each other at the barbecue, he was like, I mean, objectively, she's gorgeous, Jessica.
Yeah.
And yeah, he... I really, you know what? We've gone through our couples. Mm-hmm. Do we want to hit some predictions?
Yeah, let's do
it. What we think's going to happen. Obviously, Kenneth, Brittany, Laura, done. Jeremy, done.
Yeah.
Out.
They are not even making it to the bridal shop.
And we can agree that Johnny and Amy, they're going to make it down the aisle. And I think they both say yes.
I think they both say yes as well.
Easy. Lock it in. Then we have, then we got messes all over the place. Clay and AD. I think they make it down the aisle, and I think both of them don't want to do this. Secretly, I think both of them have concerns.
Reservations. Yes. I think AD is going to say yes. I think Clay is going to say no.
Really?
Yep. Oh. I think Clay, honestly, I do think Clay wants this for himself, and I think he really, really wants it to work out. But I think ultimately when it comes down to standing on the altar, I think he's going to scare himself, and I think he's going to say no.
Okay. Lastly, we have Chelsea and Jimmy.
Oh, God.
Prediction. Mm-hmm. Like, I think they make it to morning of the wedding and he calls it off. I think there's no way that these two can work. They almost broke up once. I thought they were broken up and they talked it out. But, like, I think Jimmy is... I think Jimmy's trying to get out of this season not being the villain, and he's trying to figure out the best way to do it, because I think in his mind he's like, there are so many red flags here, I gotta get out of it. This girl should have been in therapy instead of on a reality dating show. Yes, like straight up.
Yeah.
And I think the writing is slowly being written on the wall that he's got to get out of this thing.
I think they're going to say yes.
Okay.
I think they're gonna say yeah.
That is your rom-com rewind of season 6 of Love is Blind. I actually still have some content that we're leaving on the table here for next time, because maybe we'll just poke our heads in after the finale and as well after the reunion, just to quickly catch you up on our thoughts. And maybe, you know, you and us, we can chat about, you know, how things end. But that's our prediction for the end of Love is Blind.
Thanks for listening.